Thank you. And Happy New Year, everyone. I'm Heather. I'm one of the lay ministers here. And it's lovely to be talking to you here this morning, whether you're here in person or watching online. Shall we just begin with a short prayer? Lord, as we hear your word, help us to be filled with your wisdom and grace. Amen. So maybe it's not quite appropriate but to call it such, but the first part of Luke's gospel is a bit like a musical. Because as the story of Jesus' birth unfolds, the characters have this habit of suddenly bursting into song. Mary does it first, closely followed by Zachariah. Then we have a chorus of angels, and finally Simeon, whose song we heard today. And like all the best musicals, these songs have a life in their own right, and ever since the 4th century, they've been an integral part of worship in the church. They're used as worship songs in morning, evening, and night services. And as Alex said, during Advent, we heard Becky preaching about Mary's song and Jenny about Zachariah's song. And today we finish this mini-series with Simeon's song. The three of them are very closely linked together, and they refer to the key themes of the Old Testament, particularly God's promise of salvation, his promise that he will come and set us free, free from all our brokenness. And as today is Epiphany, we'll be thinking about the passage we read in that context. An Epiphany means a moment of sudden revelation. And at Epiphany, we celebrate God revealing God's self to the whole world, to everyone, through the birth of Jesus. We'll also be considering the significance of encounters, since the epiphanies in our passage happened due to what appear like chance encounters at the temple. And very conveniently, that gives me three E's to talk about today: Epiphany, encounters, and everyone. So looking at the passage, in today's reading, the scene has shifted from Nazareth and Bethlehem to the temple at Jerusalem. The new family have travelled there to complete the Jewish rituals that follow the birth of a baby, particularly a firstborn son. Jesus had been circumcised and named at 8 days old, and now he's to be consecrated to the Lord at the temple, and Mary has to carry out purification rituals. Simeon, who's been guided there by the Holy Spirit, encounters them in the temple courts. He is, in the words of the Message Bible, a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Even his name, Simeon, is significant. It means one who hears. And Simeon was one who heard and obeyed the word of God. Then there's this lovely moment when he takes the baby in his arms. I don't know about you, but for me, holding a new baby in my arms is a really emotional and joyful experience. Our second grandchild was born 5 weeks early on the 5th of November, but he was then in hospital for 2 long weeks, and then Steve tested positive for COVID, so it was over 4 weeks before we could meet him, hold him in our arms, and just experience that joyful moment. But for Simeon, it was a much, much more highly charged moment. He had spent years of his life praying for and waiting for this very moment. He knows he's holding the Lord's Messiah in his arms, the long-awaited fulfillment of all his and his nation's hopes and dreams, the consolation of Israel, as Luke puts it. And Simeon knows he can now die in peace. He's seen the Messiah with his own eyes, and he praises God in song. And like Zechariah and Mary, he sings of God's salvation, God bringing freedom. "My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour," sang Mary. "He has raised up a horn of salvation for us," sang Zechariah. "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations," sings Simeon. So while Mary tells of her Saviour and Zechariah of Israel's Saviour, Simeon tells of a Saviour for all. He's quoting Isaiah, "I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Then, amidst all this praise and joy, Simeon gives Mary a searing warning, a warning of trouble and grief ahead. "A sword will pierce your own soul too." Salvation, freedom, comes not only through the joy of the incarnation, the joy of the birth of this baby, but in the suffering on the cross, in Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. After Simeon has spoken, there's a second significant encounter and epiphany at the temple that day. As Simeon finishes speaking, Anna comes up. Anna's a prophet who spends her days and nights worshipping at the temple. She's long been a widow, and she's 84 years old. She realizes the significance of this child, and she gives thanks to God for him. And then she goes out and she tells everyone that she has met Jesus. So what's the significance of this story about the new family, about temple rituals, and meetings with a couple of elderly people? What does that mean for us today? So let's begin with Epiphany. Simeon's song is usually heard in funerals or services of night prayer. And that, I think, mostly because the first line is about departing in peace. But we're not at a funeral, and hopefully we're not about to go to sleep. We're gathered today at morning worship on the first Sunday of a new calendar year, a time for looking forward, a time of new resolutions. And it's Epiphany Sunday, when we celebrate the visit of the Magi and the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God. The visit of the wise men who came from the East, from another country, is seen as revealing that Christ's birth is for all nations, all peoples, for everyone. And Simeon's song too is about Christ coming to bring freedom for all nations. And when Simeon reveals this to Mary and Joseph, Luke tells us they too were amazed. An epiphany for them. Simeon has this epiphany when he holds the baby in his arms, and Anna the same when she sees the baby, realizing it's the Messiah. Now Mary, Joseph, Simeon's and Anna's epiphanies all come through encounters. Mary and Joseph encounter Simeon. Simeon and Anna encounter the baby. And though none of us will encounter the baby Jesus at the temple, we too can have encounters that lead to epiphanies, perhaps for us, perhaps for the person we've encountered. There's a story that Archbishop Desmond Tutu used to tell about an epiphany he had, which was all due to a chance encounter. I've used the story before, but it seems especially apt to use it today, following the news of his death on Boxing Day. So Tutu said that the defining moment of his life happened due to an apparently chance encounter on a street in a township in western Johannesburg in the 1930s. The young Tutu was walking along with his mother Aletta when he noticed a white man in unusual dress. As he passed them, the man doffed his hat to Tutu's mother and greeted her respectfully. In those days, white men who came into the black townships were usually police or government officials, and it was unheard of for them to acknowledge the dignity of the black people who lived there. Tutu's mother explained the man was a priest, Trevor Huddleston, and Tutu later said, "The biggest defining moment in my life was when I saw Trevor Huddleston, and I was maybe 9 or so. I saw this tall, white priest in a black cassock doff his hat to my mother, who was a domestic worker. I didn't know then that it would have affected me so much, but it was something that was really, it blew your mind that a white man would doff his hat. Subsequently, I discovered that this was consistent with his theology, that every person is of significance, of infinite value, because they are created in the image of God." So who could know that a chance encounter and a simple gesture could be the trigger for the bishop's, for the archbishop's amazing life, impact, and witness? That made me think, do we, as we go about our daily lives, see the people we encounter as of significance, of infinite value to God? And though we won't encounter the baby Jesus, we may well encounter Jesus in other people. Remember in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me." So who knows what transformations, what epiphanies, our encounters and small gestures of kindness could bring? A member of our home group often prays before he walks into Dorking, asking God to help him to help someone he meets on his way. Are we expectant in prayer about encounters, as Simeon was, as my fellow home group member is? Do we see and treat the people we pass in the street as of infinite value, as created in the image of God? And the last of our three E's, everyone. So both Trevor Huddleston and Archbishop Tutu were passionate advocates of the truth that all are equal before God and that everyone is created in his image. We think of what Paul wrote in Galatians, that in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The passage from Luke's Gospel reveals in all sorts of ways that Christ came for all. Simeon, as we've heard, sings of a Messiah for all nations. By telling us that Mary and Joseph offered a sacrifice, offered a pair of turtle doves as sacrifice, Luke is suggesting the value of the poor to God. A lamb would be the normal offering in such circumstances, but if he really couldn't afford that, two doves were deemed acceptable. Mary and Joseph couldn't afford a lamb, but God chose them. Then there's Anna, a woman and a widow, someone at the bottom of the rung in what was a very patriarchal society. Yet she has a role as a prophet at the temple, and her story is chosen and written about for posterity. She sees, recognizes the baby Jesus, and goes and tells people what she has seen. Some people call her the first evangelist. Then there's the fact that Simeon and Anna are elderly. We live in a society that doesn't always value older people. Sometimes even the church can seem not to. But here, in a few words, we learn the worth of two people who have lived for many, many years, and not without struggle in Anna's case. Both are faithful worshippers and prayers. Both are filled with the Holy Spirit. And both are wise hearers and obeyers of God's word. They are especially singled out by God for this amazing encounter with the Christ child. And both have this epiphany, this revelation that this child is indeed the Messiah. So let's remember that each one of us is significant to God and valued by God, and that all of us have vital roles to play in bringing about God's kingdom on earth. And in many ways, Anna can be seen as exemplifying our mission here at St. Paul's, which is to gather, to grow, and to go. She gathers all the time at the temple. She grows through prayer and fasting, and she helps others grow through her prophecies. And then, having seen Jesus, she goes and she tells everyone. And she's 84 years old. So as we as individuals and as a church step out into 2022, let's follow in the footsteps of those we've heard about today. Let's gather to worship as Mary, Joseph, Simeon, and Anna did at the temple, gathering here in person or gathering virtually online. Let's grow in expectant prayer and the Holy Spirit as Simeon did, and help others to grow as Anna did through our private prayer and through our small groups. And finally, let's go out into 2022. Go out beyond these walls to encounter Christ, to see the image of everyone we meet, see the image of God in everyone we meet, including the lonely, the suffering, and the marginalised, as Trevor Huddleston and Archbishop Tutu did. And who knows what epiphanies we and those we encounter might experience. Amen.